All right, so go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark this morning, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. When you find that, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We begin reading in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, looking to you for direction, looking to hear from you that you might help us. Again, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God that helps us, that continually guides and directs us through the Word of God. And I pray this morning that you would just fill each one of us with your Spirit, knowing that we're looking to you and trusting you in every area of our lives. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here we see that Jesus had just come off the sea. He was over on the other side. He was in Galilee, that area, and he was going to Gadara. Gadara is on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee has many names, just so you know. The Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Kinnereth in the Old Testament. It's Kinneroth in the Old Testament as well, and then the Sea of Tiberias. So when you see those different names, it's talking about the same place. Many of those are because of the cities that are right there around it. But also, the Sea of Kinnereth is because Kinnereth, I think, has to do with the shape, which is a heart shape. So anyway, Jesus, he had just went to the other side, and he's coming to a good area there. But during that night, he was in the midst of a storm, and he was sleeping in that. And we remember the story how the disciples were frightened by it. These were fishermen, by the way, that had been on this the Sea of Galilee many times. But yet they came to Jesus, and they were afraid and woke him. And he just spoke the words, "Peace, be still." And that's all it took. And so we see that Jesus has a purpose and a plan. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he used those opportunities. He either spoke words, or he did some action, or maybe even a miracle. And he did all of those things to show people who he was, to understand that the Father had sent him to do the Father's will. And so now he's come across this sea. And we know in Jesus' life, he didn't just go anywhere and everywhere. I think he had a plan and a purpose wherever he went. There's a man on the other side of this sea. And I believe he went there for that very purpose. Because soon after this, we're going to see he departs. But anyway, nonetheless, he comes over to the sea. Across the sea to Gadara. And as soon as Jesus gets off the ship, verse 2 it says, "And when he was come out, the ship immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." This man was in the tombs. The tombs are the graveyard or the cemeteries, okay? That's where he lived, in the graveyard. That's where that dead are, okay? It's the place of the dead, if you will. And as you see, and as we've read through this already, we see that this man was in that condition as well. When we think of spiritually, he was spiritually dead. He was without hope. In fact, he was worse than just your average normal person. He was filled with demons. Many, the Bible says. In fact, we know that at least 2,000 plus were in him. He was naked. In Luke 8:27, in the parallel passage, it says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs." This is a sign of a lost person. He was completely controlled what possessed him. Completely controlled. He had no control over his life. And that's true today of the lost. They're controlled by what feeds their spirit. We as Christians who have the Spirit of God, we have the opportunity to be controlled by God completely if we allow Him to do that. His strength was derived from what was in him, the demons. No man could bind him, no, not even with chains. It said in our passage, "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." They couldn't hold him down to do anything with him. He was a wild man. Again, having the spirit of the demons inside of him, this unclean spirit, as we have found out. His dependence was what was on the inside that controlled him. He was constantly crying and cutting himself. We see that today. There are a lot of people in those situations. They're crying out. They may not be saying the words, or they may not have the tears in their eyes, but they're crying out for something because they don't know where to look, and they don't know what's real and what's not anymore. There's no absolutes in life. Now, we know differently. That's not true. But there are a lot of people who don't. That's why we hear of all the different situations going on in the world today. Life doesn't mean a whole lot to a whole lot of people. They don't care about it anymore because they don't realize that it's in God's image they were made. This man had no way out. There was nothing he could do in his situation. He was there, locked in. And this is what Satan will do for anybody. He'll rob him of his sanity. He'll rob him of his self-control. He'll fill him with fears, and he'll rob him of his family, of his friends. And eventually he'll rob him of his home. We have a nation with, I don't know what the number is, but many homeless people living in America. America, the greatest country on the face of this earth. And we got people living on the street in cardboard boxes. Now, obviously, that's some of that's by their choice and the decisions they made in their life. I'm not saying that, but again, we can see America. We love America, but we can also see there's a lot of things going in America that really you would think would not be. This is a picture as well as what society will do for a man in need. Society will restrain him or threaten him. He'll isolate him. But he's also unable to change him. What America needs today is Jesus Christ. That's the only change that could move us from the direction we're going. And of course, the Bible tells us we're going to go that direction. To a different direction. And I personally think America is pretty much lost, as the world is lost. But there are still individuals that are not. And that's what we have the opportunity to do. Here was an individual that was really in a serious situation. He could do nothing for himself. He was a lost man. But then next we see the legion. This is interesting because you would think the devil would want to run from Jesus Christ, want to hide or go somewhere else. But it's amazing that the devil knows Jesus much better than most people do. I mean, we have here, it says in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So here is this man. His body's being controlled, what's in him. The spirits see Jesus. They're concerned about what Jesus is going to do to them. So they go and they're on their knees and they're worshiping Jesus. Well, you know, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil himself knows that God is the Almighty. James 2:19 shares with us, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The point meaning that many people believe there's a God, but they will not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They will not bow that knee. You see, Satan already knows the end. He knows what's going to happen to him. So he's just here doing everything he can to take as many as he can with him. Why? Because he hates God that much. So these demons, it's amazing, they're talking to the Lord and they're entreating the Lord. In verse 10 it says, "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." They didn't want to go out of the country. In fact, they mentioned in another text, there's the swine over there. They wanted to go into the swine. Not in this text, but in one of the other passages in Matthew or Luke. And here it says in verse 11, "Now there was near unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him." Well, there it is. It says it here too. I'm sorry. "Saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So we see that when the legion was there, there are many. We don't know. Someone said a legion, I think it was like 6,000 something. I don't know. But here we know that 2,000 swine were filled with these demons. Now, that doesn't mean there was just one demon per swine. We don't know. That's not important anyway. All we know that when the demon got into those swine didn't do what they wanted to do. They did what the demons wanted them to do. In the parallel passage in Luke 8:31 says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And that's really what happened in the sense that, but this deep here is the abyss. It means the depthless, the deep, the bottomless pit, and that's where they're going to end up. They wanted to still have opportunities while they were here. In Revelation 20:10 it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They knew that's where they were going to end up. So they wanted to go into the swine. You know, we think about this man and think about our lives as well. There are many today that are following the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul writes, warning the church there, he says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What he's saying is many people will not receive Christ because Satan has got them blinded or confused or has filled their lives with so many things that are out there that get our attention. We don't have time for God. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about the lost. No time. Don't have time to hear about it. Today, we know that most people mock God in our society. If you look at Hollywood or those in the media, they don't care anything about God. And that's the situation we're in today. We're in the same situation here as Jesus met this man who couldn't control himself. We have multitudes of people in this world that cannot control themselves. We hear it in the media all the time. We just heard of another shooting in Virginia. I mean, these things we didn't hear in the 60s and 70s. Very seldom did this happen. Very seldom. Today, it's every other month or week or whatever. It's going all the time. It's because our society is being controlled by the devil, by the god of this world. And really, it starts with our nature itself. In James 1:14 through 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It begins right here in our hearts. And I'm talking about those that are lost, because we're talking about the lost. That's what this passage is talking about. Those who have never put their faith and trust in Christ. And this man, he was worse off than most. He had the spirits living inside of him. And Jesus came by to solve this man's problem. Today, we need to take the warning that John has given us in 1 John. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He tells us to try the spirits. How do we try the spirits? We try the spirits by washing what they do and say through the Word of God. By looking at the Word of God and knowing this is what God says, and they're not saying the same things or doing the same things. Why? Because Satan is really out there. We don't want to underestimate him. He is a dangerous foe to us. That's why Peter gives the warning in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, and then he's talking to Christians there. He's saying, watch out. We could be in the same situation. So we know that Satan is at work in the lives of unbelievers, and he's trying to destroy them and trying to keep them where they're at. And he does that through the world's philosophy. He does that through the world's media, the Hollywood crowd. All those people have one agenda. They wouldn't tell you what it is because I'm not sure they absolutely know because they're blinded. But that agenda is to take God out of our country and to, so we don't have an authority and we can go live and do what we want to do, when we want to do it, where we want to do it, and not worry about anything else. We're seeing it already flipped. In the 50s and 60s and earlier, the country had a moral sense to it. People may not read the Bible, but they believed the Bible was God's Word. They had that moral sense. They knew right from wrong because it was taught in the schools and it was taught in other places what's right and wrong. Well, the school says, we can't have the Bible because if we teach the Bible, somebody might get offended and might do something. I think years ago I read an article where they had the Ten Commandments on the wall and they wanted to take it down because somebody might read those and do those. Talk about crazy, right? But that's how crazy our society is today. Somebody might actually not kill somebody or not commit adultery and do those things. So we see the lost man and his condition. We see the legions, and that's God, the God of this world and all he's doing. But also we see the Lord. Look at verse 13. It says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran valley down the steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done, and they come to Jesus. And see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. See, Jesus came for a purpose. And we quote this verse all the time, or share this verse all the time, because it fits. But you can see it in other places, in other passages as well. When Jesus was come through Jericho, and Zacchaeus wanted to see him, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And that day Jesus told him he was coming to his house, and we see that Zacchaeus repented of his sin and got saved. What a blessing. A publican, a tax collector. And but right after that, he says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's what Jesus is doing here when he crossed the sea. He came over and he crossed the sea, partly maybe to get away from some of the crowd, but also he was seeking this particular man, I believe, because he knew he is God and this man needed a Savior. And this was a big task compared to some of the task, in the sense that there are many that maybe had different things going on, but this was the battle with the enemy right up front. It's the devil and it's Jesus. He had just came through the storm, and he came to this man. And as society rejects people and shuns them, Jesus came to them. 2 Peter 3:9, Peter writes, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering toward us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, this man that is filled with this unclean spirit, the legion, he still cared for him. That tells us a lot, doesn't it? Jesus cares for everyone. And he demonstrated that when he went to the cross and died. He rose again, and he lives today. Satan is trying to destroy these men, as he is trying to destroy so many today. But Christ came to deliver them. It is only Jesus who can speak, and the demons leave. It's only Jesus who can say, peace be still, and the storm cease just like that. There's power there in the very words of Jesus Christ. Power. Unheard of for most of us. For all of us. What am I talking about? It's only Jesus who can cause the blind to see. It's only Jesus who can heal the brokenhearted. It's only Jesus who can save a man from himself. The Bible tells us that the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And mentioned there were 2,000. Now, it's interesting, these are pigs. That tells us something. These were not Jews. Jews would not raise swine. Okay? They would have nothing to do with them. Just an aside. So he's actually talking to somebody who's a Gentile. And so Jesus did this, and we see the shepherds were there, the herders, and he did this, and maybe it was to show them who he was as well. Because that's the way it works. When Jesus did miracles, it wasn't just to heal that particular individual. Often it was for those that were around him as well as the witness to see what had taken place. And many times the Pharisees were in those positions and saw those things. We know Nicodemus, I believe, got saved because of that. The miracles, the things that he had saw when he came to Jesus. That led him to it, let me put it that way. But these guys were afraid. They ran off and they told everybody in the city what happened. And so those folks came out. And when they came out, they saw Jesus there, and then they saw this man. This man was different than he was before. He had a new life. He'd been changed. He had a complete turnaround. In Luke chapter 8, verse 35, it says, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus." This passage, I don't think it tells us that. Just says he was sitting. But he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can already see the picture. He's been converted, and now Jesus is his Lord. His life is changed miraculously. It's an amazing event that takes place, and we think of it, and we think, well, it's in the Bible. I heard this story many times, but try to put yourself there that day. Walk out in Stratton and see if that could happen to somebody you know. You'd be amazed, wouldn't you? I would. Just like that? Really? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, not crying as before, not cutting himself as before, not unable to be tamed as before. You know, a lot of people have problems. There are things that, and this is no reflection on anybody or nothing, but I think, and I should have probably got the references to these, but the cutting of the self, a lot of people do that. A lot of people wear tattoos and stuff like that. That is not the saved people. Now, that doesn't mean if you got a tattoo, you know, that you got to go remove it or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as a saved Christian, that's not what you want to do because it's not your body. It's Christ's body. He puts the identification marks on us or allows us to go through things to get those marks. It's not, why do people get tattoos? Why do people cut themselves? I remember a young girl, I think I was in 7th grade, maybe 8th. It was in a science class. And this is back in the day, for sure. And I remember her name because I knew her from, I guess, 3rd grade on up, all the way to high school. She's a real popular girl, but she was sitting next to me in class one day, and her clothes weren't proper. I mean, her skirt went way up here, whatever. But she's there with a razor blade, and she was carving in her leg, and she slipped, and it was just blood gushing out. They were doing that back then, cutting themselves. This is what the heathen do. This is how the heathen act. He didn't do this anymore. He was changed. When he wasn't able to be tamed, now he's able to be tamed. Why? He's filled with a different spirit. His life has been transformed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. This was traumatic. When I got saved, I felt that that was pretty traumatic. But it's nothing like this. I mean, this whole man's life went one direction, and then just like that on a dime, he was completely different. Completely. I'm still working on it. And that's the way that has to be. The man was lost, filled with a legion of demons. Now he was different. Different as night and day. Different as light and darkness. Different as heaven and hell. He was different. And of course, the people, their reaction, they saw it. The herders ran and they brought the people in. They were afraid. I don't know why they wanted him to depart. Verse 17 says, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. I think they were afraid that they maybe might lose more cattle or something else drastic like this, because this probably hurt their pocketbook, their finances a little bit, maybe. See, the world is all about money. I don't know if you've ever thought it. I have. I'm guilty. If I just had $1 million, everything would be great. Pay off all my bills and get me a new truck and a new car and a new house and new whatever. New clothes or whatever, or take care of it and get myself out of a situation. That is faulty thinking. Often we're in the situations we're in because of our sin and the things we allow in our lives. And because we as Christians, as we're learning to grow in Christ, we're learning about contentment. We're learning how to just trust God and realize that He's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs. And it's a lifelong struggle to get to that point. In fact, none of us are going to get there probably till we see Jesus say, oh, I wasted all that time on trying to get all that stuff. I think I'm going to be standing before the Lord. He's going to say, yeah, you spent a lot of time doing stuff you shouldn't have been to get stuff that you didn't need when there was something else you could have been doing. Whatever, they were upset. And they asked him to leave. So here we saw the lost man, we saw the legion, we saw the Lord, we saw a new life. But I want us to see, the lastly, is the new love. In verse 18 it says, and when he was come into the ship, this is Jesus, he that had been possessed with a devil prayed him that he might be with him. Wow! What are you talking about? What's just happened? A man who's lived in the graveyard, no clothes on, couldn't control himself, couldn't be tamed, nobody could mess with him. He was a wild man, and now he wants to go where Jesus is going. That's an amazing transformation. He doesn't care about it right now. He's not focused on anything else, but hey, I want to follow this guy. This Jesus. I'm sure he felt a little bit indebted to the man that saved his life. Of course, we all would be, would we not? He desired to be with Jesus. Today, I believe that when you get truly, genuinely born again, you're going to have a desire to be with Jesus. There's going to be that desire there. Why? Because God is in you. And our spirit bears witness with His spirit. We want to be with Jesus. Now, it's different. Jesus is not here. He's not in church sitting next to Mike, is he? No. So we don't have the opportunity this particular gentleman did that we can reach out and touch Jesus in that sense. But he didn't have the Spirit like we had it exactly that day either. Back then, the Spirit came upon people. But the point is that he trusted Christ just like we all have to, and that's by believing with all his heart. That's what this man did. And this is our desire, is to be with Jesus. But we know that Jesus is not here anymore. When Jesus was here, he said that he was the light of the world. But when he left, he told us that we would be the light of the world. So we can't be with him yet. But one day we will. In John chapter 14, it tells us and explains that to us, that there are many mansions up there, and that Jesus is coming back to take us with Him. So we're going to be with Him. But there's a gap between the day I accepted Christ as my Savior and the day that I really get to be with Jesus. What's that all about? It's about what He tells the man. This man that's here. This man that wants to get on the boat and go with Jesus. Verse 19 says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him." And suffered means to send, in a sense. Send him not. "But saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." He just told him what He told us. And what we have learned over time is that what we're here for is to go tell our friends and to tell others. See, that's the compassion of Jesus, is take a man who is filled with demons to change a man's life completely. One who's being cut on by himself, one who nobody can bind, runs around naked, and all of a sudden he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He is clothed. One thing I forgot to mention, he's in his right mind. In his right mind. Today, there are many people in this world that are not in their right mind. Go talk to some. You'll find out. Today, truth is what I determine truth to be. Truth is my truth. Truth is what I believe truth is. There is no anchor. There is no standard. There is nothing there. That's what the world sees. But we as Christians, we know we have the truth right here. And it's the anchor. It guides and directs us. So he sent this man to his friends. A miracle occurred that day. A man was literally beside himself. Now he has been transformed. And he's told to go to his friends. In verse 20 he says, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." He went into all the world, and this was his world, and he preached the gospel. And people marveled. Now, it doesn't say people got saved necessarily, but they listened, they heard, and we don't know the outcome today of that. There could have been many saved. Could have been one or few or none, I don't know. But he did what Jesus told him to do. That was what's important. The most important thing we can do in this world as Christians is the will of God. And that's it. When we follow Jesus, we listen to what the Word says, and we do what He says. That's it. This man was miraculously saved. His life was transformed, and it made a difference. So this morning, I would guess that most of you have been miraculously saved and transformed. And you understand. Because there has been that time in your life when you didn't know. And there has been that time in your life you were doing your own thing. Maybe even trying to live a spiritual life. Member of a church and all that stuff. But you didn't have the relationship. And once you got it, you realized things were different. I have a new master. A new direction. A new life. I want to challenge you. As we think about this man who's lost, you think about the legions that are in him, the God of this world, if you will, then remember the Lord and what the Lord can do to anybody. He can give them a new life and give them a new love. And it's transforming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God and how you do a work in our hearts and our lives, and how you transform us. You make us into something that's different. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here that's never accepted Christ, I pray today they would understand their condition just like this man, lost, without hope. The Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But just like this man who was lost, he met Jesus. Today, somebody could meet Jesus if they'll just realize in their heart that they are sinners and that Jesus died for them. And then step out. As the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that today they can call on the Lord and they too can be saved. Father, have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.